Utter Cream on my...
Oh, my God. I forgot about Utter Cream. We used to have it a lot. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that in years.
Farmers know.
Stop. My grandma had that all the time. Big old jars with the cow on it.
Uh-huh.
I love that. You got to go back to the basics, man, because all these...
Grandma knew.
Hyaluronic. Yep. What is it? Hyaluronic acids. But, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Simple stuff like bear grease, bacon grease.
Yep, exactly. That's if it works for animals, and yeah, it's probably safe for us, too.
For real. For real. Oh, my gosh. We have 2 more minutes. But do you have any closing
song? You know, I don't know about a song.
Okay, good.
I just want to say thank you for Miigwech, Wado, Pidamayaye, Shishi, Gracias,
Pinigigi,
Tan, Tanka. This platform is so important. And as a kid, I was so in tune to the radio that... pretty consistently before I turned it on, I could start singing the song that was going to be on. And it has been a dream of mine to be in a radio studio. So this is a dream come true for me, and I really appreciate it. And I don't know exactly how I will pay it forward, but I promise you that I will.
For sure. With people like me and you, like, we understand the how energy works. So making sure that the energy kind of, you know, goes out into the universe is one of those things, because it's just universal to know those things. So I know for sure you'll do that, because it's just one of those things. We have to make the universe better and make it unfold the beautiful way that we have and we help it along, you know?
And manifest, yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on my show. This has been a long time coming.
Oh, thank you,
Dan. I'm trying to be more like consistent with like really good guests, and sometimes I like don't make it, and then I'll have to come in here and talk by myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a great holiday weekend.
Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at KFAI.org. Well, so am I.
Yeah, me too.
Shouldn't everybody?
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we're going to have a whole hour with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler. But before I get her on, I just want to remind everyone that there's a few things going on still. It's American Indian Month here in Minnesota, and I want to remind everyone that we're celebrating American Indian Month at Maya. It's called Meet at Maya from 5 to 9 May 29th, which is Thursday, May 28th, which is Thursday, excuse me, and they're going to have DJ Swan Doe provide soundtrack for the evening from 5 to 8:45, Mia's Lobby, Minneapolis Institute of Art, and there'll be art studios and Get Creative with artist Willard Melbear, who's just an awesome artist, and also there'll be games with our friend from Noshki Games, Native Games, and there'll be Ojibwe language games and culture, and then there's tours going on. Also, we want to remind everyone, too, that Walk on Teepee on the 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is their grand opening. And I also want to remind everyone that a Native American Patriot Talk with Chase Iron Eyes is on today, right after Native Roots Radio. So always excited to have Chase bring in his guests and bring in people and basically listen to Chase talk for a good hour about all these Native issues that are happening all around Turtle Island. So without any further ado, let's bring our friend Heather Keeler on, State Representative, and I want to add her right to the stage. There we go. Hey, how are you doing, State Rep?
I'm good. I'm resting. I feel like it's harder to rest like than people think it is, but I'm doing my best.
Yeah, good. Good for you. And I know from campaigning to having this stressful as always, things at the Capitol and going through that. And, you're a mother of two kids and, you know, a business owner and all those things. So I just wanted to really catch up with you because I know there's a lot going on in the state, in the country, and in your life, and I want to just catch up.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot going on in all of those spaces. It feels like had you have asked me like a year ago if this is where my life would be, the answer would be very different. Like this entire year has been grueling, to say the least. From just the stuff in my life, right? Like deciding to run for Congress, to really try to be a voice for things that I don't think we often see in politics. Making that decision back in October, early November, was before the ICE overreach and just everything that happened. And so it added a lot to a very stressful session. And then, the truth is, Robert, we're grieving. And that part is the part that's hard to say out loud. It's the part that's hard to acknowledge, that we're coming up on a year of one of the most horrific acts of political violence that kind of set the spiral to a really awful year. I said the other day, I feel like I'm landing on my feet and looking around and sort of realizing maybe what we've all just gone through in the last year. And it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
Well, and I appreciate you and other guests that come on our show and talk about what's going on, because it is daunting. Not only, the death of your friend and her husband, and I can't forget her dog, but Ortman, and also the shooting in the school, and then the surge here. It's just been really daunting here in the Twin Cities and the whole state of Minnesota.
Yeah, I think too, for those of us who are water protectors, what's going on with the boundary waters is like this whole other level. We've been saying for a very long time, what they do to the land, they do to the people. And those things are happening at the same time. Like, those of us who are really sensitive to those relationships, you know, it's just, it's hard on a lot of levels. But I feel like I have always been a voice and an advocate for mental health, for sobriety, mm-hmm. you know, lately, for making sure that, like, we really take care of ourselves before we take care of other people. And I knew that it was time for me to take care of myself. And it's weird because there's a lot of pressure to just keep going and keep doing things. And there's this idea that, like, if you're good at something, you should just stay gas full down, you know, going the whole time. And I think we need to be better relatives in giving each other time to rest so that, like, the longevity of who we are can maintain. Because Robert, when's the last time you really took any time to rest?
Good question. I took a nap today. Does that count? Every day I do, I get a 20-minute napper in, but that's a good question.
Yeah. And I think it's something that we have to, like, talk about. And, you know, the grind is real. We're always showing up to a fight, especially as Indigenous people. Like, sitting in the legislature, it felt like every time we just swiveled a little bit, there was a new issue that we needed to be a part of. We needed to bring tribal leaders, tribal community. There was a sovereignty aspect to it. And it's really, really hard. So it can keep you going every day. But we have to allow each other and encourage each other to rest and give suggestions on what that looks like, because I do think it's really important before we burn ourselves out before the end of this race.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point, because I laugh and I always talk about what I'm doing right now. I have a lot of good people around me, and it's something I really enjoy. And so it's one of those things where it's not like work, not like what you went through and go through when it comes to dealing with, dealing with the other side of the aisle with, you know, friends' death and things like that, that, you know, I've kept away. But also it is daunting to see the news every day, because there's four or five things thrown at us every day. And we're not even looking at really what's going on federally behind closed doors. There's just all this smoke and mirrors going on.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're working really hard to dissolve democracy. And I think there's this, like, those of us who maybe understand abuse and violence mind frames differently, this is a tactic that we see, right? Is that they just are distracting you in all these other areas, you know, whether they want to call it fraud, whether it was, you know, immigration, whether it was, you know, you name it, right? They're trying to distract us from the fact that they're working really hard to completely dissolve democracy for us to have a voice in what kind of country and communities we want to build and live in and thrive in. And so, again, back to the need to rest. We have a long haul ahead of us. We all have to do something to get into the game. It looks a little different, but it starts with rest and hydration.
Absolutely. Hey, we are with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler, owner of Two Feathers Consulting, and we're just talking about the future and things that are happening now. And here at Native Roots Radio, we're really proud to have a state representative on the whole hour. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way, to those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people, to those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are, to those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many. To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other. To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty. To the young, the old, the living, and the dead. To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler. And just to remind everyone locally and then on all social media, Native American Patriot with Chase Iron Eyes right after this show. Hey, Heather, you know, I'm glad you kind of talked about that, and I know all the time, many of the times that you're on, we talk about how do we take care of ourselves and our soul and things like that. And I'm really glad you brought up, you know, when is the last time I had a vacation? But, you know, it's great that we talk about this because I think people need to be reminded of that, especially in these days.
Yeah. You know, it's even something like as I talk with my professional friends, a couple years ago, I kind of went down a rabbit hole on hydration and frontal lobes and your emotional response when you're dehydrated. And it was because I watched all of my legislator friends turn into this whole new version of ourselves in April and May near the end of session when we were working those long hours. And it was like, there's got to be something better than just like Coke and Pepsi and, you know, caffeine after one after another. And so it really was about drinking water. And I was like, if there's something I want to provide for Minnesota, it's that I'm going to make sure our decision makers are hydrated. Because, you know, if you know much about like just water and our body, we talk about it all the time. Water is life. And it's the key and the resource to make sure that we are, I think, the best version of ourselves, emotionally stable to make big decisions. And so I have these stickers that say, drink water, well, and lead with love, because, you know, those are my two sort of mottos. And I really made sure that that was my message when I saw both Democrats and Republicans just kind of not being their best version of themselves. And so it's a different way of doing politics. You know, I wasn't there to necessarily put my name on the line as the author for politics. I was there to make sure somebody was taking care of each other, so that we can go make those really good decisions, and making sure the people who show up alongside us to do the work, like our staff, were also taking care of themselves. And so caretakers in politics kind of don't go hand in hand very often.
Well, you know, that's funny that you bring that up, too, because remind our audience, too, especially people that are first checking in on Native Roots Radio, you have a great background of taking care of people, whether they're infants, whether it was your work prior to this. I remember, I think we did one of our Sunday night symposiums, and you had a little infant with you, and I was like, wow. But that you were watching really young ones that needed to be watched.
Yeah, I was an ICWA mom for a very long time. I loved on newborn babies a lot because I knew that they were in the highest need of loving critical placements. And it really felt like a calling for me. You know, like if we want to keep the spirit of ICWA alive, the Indian Child Welfare Act, you know, in Minnesota, we have MIFBA, which is the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, which we worked really hard on a couple years ago to make sure that we had robust language to protect our kids. But it also means that those of us who have the ability to open our homes and share love and share who we are as Indigenous people with the next generation, we need to do that. It's not easy. It's exhausting. It was really emotional. I stayed licensed through my whole first term. I mean, part of that was, you remember, we were in the pandemic, and so I could have babies in my home while we were doing the work for Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, I miss that. I actually have done a lot of reflection on, like, who am I? Who am I? I got the ability, Creator launched me into this space to be able to kind of peek behind the curtain of government and how it works, you know, learning how the tactics are still very much in play to try to dissolve us as Native people. Mm-hmm. But who am I after that experience? And is it going back to love on our kids and take care of that next generation and give them the tools to do that? I also have to be honest, I'm really worried about our elders, their mental health. They're on fixed incomes, and we're seeing a lot of their food access and healthcare access and medications. Like, it makes me emotional thinking about, like, who's taking care of them in the same way that we take care of our babies when they come into this world. Yeah, kind of taking some of that into consideration too, on who I was before this and how I kind of go back into that space, taking care of other people.
Well, you know, as a person and a human being, I feel like you're the same person. You've just gotten a lot more experience in other things. I really do feel that. I always get that great vibe from you. And you have Two Feathers Consulting, so you're still going to be, you know, in the game, so to speak, whether it's speaking to groups about these things that you speak on the radio or being on the radio.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, being a legislator is a part-time job. You know, one, I don't think people know that. Minnesotans out there, if it's ever an opportunity on the ballot to vote for a full-time legislature, please do that. You know, if you like everyday people serving you, to be honest, we have to be able to make a living. We get paid part-time with a full-time expectation. And it's really hard financially, especially in these days. But many of us have these other jobs and these other, like, lives that we have outside of being a legislator. And you're right, I have Two Feathers Consulting. I'm a motivational keynote speaker. I do breakout sessions around Indigenous 101 is what it's always been in the past. Really talking to groups in education, healthcare, community engagement settings about the history of Indigenous people. I call it Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't learn in K-12. Because as I've gone through this life for 44 years, I ask people pretty simple questions. Like, just today I was in a meeting and I said, do you know who Billy Mills is? Like, is that, do you know what, like, who that is? Do you know who Eloise Cobell is? Do you know the history of that story and how she won the largest government settlement based on misuse of land? You know, and you go on and you realize people just don't know. Like, boarding schools, did you know that people are still alive who were taken and forced to boarding schools? Like, we're not talking thousands of years ago. Like, we're still very much in a society that we're reeling with that. And so that's always been my passion, is to educate other people about who we are, but also build relationships with tribal nations and urban Indian populations. I think that's one of the things that was so cool in the legislature, is we had tribal state relations. It was a requirement. It is a requirement in the state of Minnesota. And so, you know, I was a liaison in Indian education before ever coming here, which is all about building bridges. And so Two Feathers is just a space to do that. Now, I think I've learned a lot more and will add more elements to Two Feathers, like government relations, tribal advocacy, future generation advocacy. Like, I don't want to be a lobbyist by any means, but I do want to help people like our individuals who are unsheltered, our relatives who are hungry. How do we teach them to be a voice at the table? And also, and last, how do we go from marching in the streets to sitting in these seats, mm-hmm. right? That make decisions. That's how we change the systems, you know, that are around. And I think we need help bridging that. And so Two Feathers is an option to help teach people how to really get into the game at a different level.
Yeah, and I think some of it, too, is to educate our own people, too, because we have to be in the game. We are not game players, so to speak, because we are, or we're not colonized because we're playing the game. We're playing the game because we have to play the game and win at the game. If we're not, you know, if we don't have our seat at the table, we need to, you know, not have people speak for us. We're going to take a quick break here in a minute, but I got to tell you this. So I love books. I think you know that. I picked up this old kind of pictorial books from the 20s and 30s, and there was not one Native American in that book, and the only representation was Calvin Coolidge wearing one of his many, many the president wearing one of his many, many headdresses. That was the only thing that was in there. And that book came out in the 80s. Yeah. You know, it's like we were not around at all from the 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Invisibility is real. I mean, like, they try to make us invisible in every space and in every way. And it's our job to continue to do shows like this, to have conversations like this, to prove that we are still here. And what I want to talk about when we come back is we are becoming a much more educated population. And so you're right. We are smart enough to step up now. We are standing in our own way, and we have to call each other up to be better for our next generations.
Yeah, good call. Hey, we are having a whole show with State Representative Heather Keeler catching up on what's going on in her life and what experience she's bringing you, and also her business, Two Feathers Consulting. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting Ms. Lisa Fisher and Grand Baton, Saturday, May 30th. The powerhouse vocalist is at the peak of her powers when she comes to the Dakota stage. She's looking to define her own path after decades as an elite backup singer, but she's always known she's a constellation in her own right. More information about Lisa Fisher at The Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
This is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot in Native Roots Radio. We are with our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler. And I also want to remind everyone listening on AM 950 and all our social media out there that Patriot Talk with Chase Iron Eyes, Native American Patriot Talk Radio with Chase Iron Eyes, up right after Native Roots Radio. Hey, welcome back, Heather. As always, it's always great to have a conversation with you about your experience, strength, and hope, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just kind of thinking at the break, we've been having these radio conversations or some of the symposiums for going on 6 years now. That is a lot. And I hope that over that time, like the conversations we've had, you know, we've been able to sprinkle in some of the work that we've done legislatively together. You know, you've been at the Capitol, you've been showing up for things alongside us. And I think we've done some really great work. And I think it leans into representation. You know, representation matters. And I'm really glad that Representative Shelley Buck got elected in the special election. And so she was able to sit alongside Representative Leish Kozlowski and I, you know, for a year, because there's a lot that we have to keep our eye on. It's not just about, you know, the bills that we want to pass. It's actually doing more defense on making sure that people don't sneak through harm to our communities, our relatives, and our nations for that. And so, yeah, you know, we've, in the time that I've served, we've been able to do scholarships for American Indian teachers. We've been able to create the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Relatives Office, the fund, the license plate. We were able to codify the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act to make sure that if anything happens at ICWA at the Supreme Court level, we have the highest protections of any state here in Minnesota. You know, the list goes kind of on and on about a lot of the things. We made Indigenous Peoples Day a state recognized holiday, and we would have never been able to do that. And so in my retirement speech, you know, that I posted on my official side, I said this thing to like the little girl in me, and maybe somebody here, somebody who listens, needs to hear the message that like keep showing up. Even when they tell you we don't belong, their tactics to make us invisible are only because they're afraid of our brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true, is that they tried to for so long teach us that we don't belong in these places, that we're not good enough, when the truth is our brown brilliance is probably everything that society needs to heal who we are. And so before the break, we were talking about higher education. And I think a thing that we miss is, do you remember not that long ago, it was like 1% of the native population held a master's or doctoral degree.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're up to like 4%, over 4%, which in the grand scheme of things still doesn't feel like a lot, right? Because people are like, oh, only 4% of you. But we're becoming more and more educated. And like, I just sent DJ, my oldest son, off to college, and he does not have to raise his hand when they talk about, are you a first-time college student? Are you a first-generation college student? And so we have to have some pride in what we've been busting through some glass ceilings, but that requires more of us as the educated. You know, we've got ourselves into these positions now. We cannot get complacent. We have to start seeing ourselves in these decision-making seats as well. So that's the advice I'll leave after, you know, spending 6 years in that space. And glad we have, you know, more natives there to continue to do the work, but it's hard on us. And so really show up, figure out how you can show up to be in spaces, to be a voice that we need, particularly right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think about, I don't know why I get, you know, I've been on the air now. This is the 10th year. We started during Standing Rock, and this is 10th year anniversary and upcoming 150th anniversary of Greasy Grass. So there's all these things that are happening. But I remember your story, and I remember we were doing the Sunday night symposium, and we had 40, 50,000 people watching us during COVID, and people were really excited to hear that you were possibly going to run for state representative. I remember that talk. And I also remember about you, too, when I was still a high school teacher, that I really thanked you and our other Native people, but you especially, because you're young, that you were a great example for my students.
And I those are things that I always will leave with our conversation and thinking about you and all the great work and your story, really.
I love that you think I'm young. First of all, I'm going to receive that and live in that a little bit, because I feel I've been trying to work out and go for walks lately, and it's like my body doesn't feel as young as it once did. But I do think that there's, you know, there's this internal dialogue that tells us, like, I just need to be a little bit more of something. Like, we don't really know what that is. I need to be more educated. I need to have more money in the bank. I need to have more experience. My kids need to be old enough to go do this. And then I'll step in and be, you know, a voice. And I sort of think that that's like, you need to step in to do things when you're in the middle of living your life, because that's, you know, when you're the most knowledgeable about what's going on around us. It is exhausting. You know, there are sacrifices. There are things that I had to miss to do the work, but we invested historic amounts of money in ending homelessness. We have access to mental health in Greater Minnesota. Our kids are getting free food at school. Like, there's, you know, my kids are receiving and seeing the benefits in their communities based on the work that we all sacrificed to do. But don't let your own brain hold you back from thinking that there's somebody else who's better, or you're not, you know, fit for this work. Because trust me when I tell you, I've been sitting alongside a lot of mediocre people who, like, way cooler, smarter, better people could sit in some of those seats. And so think big.
Yeah. Here, here. It's amazing. I was just thinking about all the things that go along with this conversation. And, you know, you doing the work and us being excited, and then also just still being out there and being a mother it is huge. And I hope your sons know how important you have been for our community and keeping things going. I'm kind of awestruck here because I'm listening to you and I'm not thinking of a next question because of the nice things that you're saying and the truisms that you are talking about.
It was really cool because I got to bring Elliot with me, you know, like, to the Capitol. He walked with me to the Capitol on my last day. And I asked him, you know, because we had like a picnic outside on the Capitol lawn, and, you know, there's times that we get sort of these little breaks. Because, you know, my youngest has been a part of politics since he was like three. So this is kind of like all he knows. And, you know, like, I asked him what he thought about this experience, because I've sort of always known what my oldest has thought, because we've been able to communicate and talk a lot about it. But my 9-year-old, you know, for him to know that not every mom gets to go work at the Capitol, not every mom gets to make these really good decisions for people who matter. And I do think that that's cool, that we get to show our next generation, like, we're a matriarch community, like, having strong, powerful women as leaders is not uncommon to us as people. And I think raising sons to see that is really cool. And having Elliot, like, tell me that, then the next morning walk in and, like, sort of know he grew up in that space, subliminally tells my kids that they could very much do something like that.
I have another memory I want to bring up too, and it's kind of a hard memory, but it was a few years ago at the Capitol, and it was an MMIR kind of gathering talking about that. And I've always not paraphrased you. I paraphrased you because I didn't get the exact quote, but I remember a powerful thing that you said amongst thousands of people and Native Americans is that you told your kids that you would never leave them. Do you remember that? Do you remember that exact quote?
I do. You know, murdered and missing Indigenous relatives is something that is meaningful and connected to all of us. Some of it is much closer, but I think we've all experienced loss or fear around losing somebody and them being taken, or the potential of that. And it was always really interesting to me. My first degree, my associate's degree, was in marketing. And it's all about how you tell a story, who you tell the story to, who's the narrator of the story, right? All of that stuff really matters. And it was always very interesting to me that, one, we never collect data nationally about who went missing. And so the invisibility tactic, you know, to not even collect data was there. But more than that, the way that people would tell the story, how big, you know, media would tell the story that, like, we watched a blonde, blue-eyed gal named Gabby from Wyoming go missing, and like the hundreds and hundreds of Native people that went missing in Wyoming before never even got a mention. And if they did, you know, my mom's from Wyoming, and so it was personal that if they did, it was like this narrative made up that, well, they went on, you know, this, they went off, they just chose not to come home. And I remember looking my oldest son in the face and like very clearly saying to him, as I was going out into the world and kind of traveling more, do not ever let them tell you that I just chose not to come home. I will always choose to come home. And I think that that story is real for all of us. Don't let mainstream media fool you in thinking we just chose not to come home. That's not what's happening. That's not the truth. And I needed my kids to know that if at any point in time somebody tried to make a narrative up about me, that in their minds and in their hearts, they just knew that that wasn't ever true. And I think we've made a lot of progress about sharing the reality of that, that we will look for you in Minnesota. You know, we've done proclamations, we've made offices, we've got a lot of work to do. But I think we're making a clear statement in Minnesota that we'll do everything we can to make sure that we look for you, and that is not the narrative that we will provide here.
Wow, great way to change segments. We're going to be back with State Representative Heather Keeler. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
It's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and I'm Robert Pilot, the host, your host, and also we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler. And before I get talking about Two Feathers in the future, I really want to give you kind of a couple-minute platform here to say what you want to say about anything. And this is Wendy's always said this to me when she's on the air with me or working together. Ask them what they want to say. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity before we get down and what's going on in the future and a little bit more about Two Feathers.
Yeah, I think the main message is thank you. I know that I don't want to get emotional. You know, one thank you to District 4A in Moorhead and all the constituents who, you know, I'm a Indigenous queer woman from Greater Minnesota. Like, I'm the first in the state to serve in that capacity. And it's because people like me just don't run and win in seats in Greater Minnesota. And so I give a lot of credit for my community for thinking big and believing in me. Not just once, it wasn't just a fluke. You know, it was like three terms, 6 years of sending me back to do good work. Thank you to the Native community, to the youth, to the, you know, unlikely legislative partners who found it, you know, to show up alongside me to advocate for supports around sex trafficking. You know, those aren't comfortable and easy things to talk about. Individuals who experienced homelessness, people who need high level mental health supports, our college kids, you know, like, thank you to everybody who found a little bit of bravery to sit at those tables. I know that it's really scary, but it mattered. Thank you to the people who fed me, who brought me water, who brought me medicine, who checked on me. You know, I don't know if people know, but my home district is almost 3.5-4 hours away from going to work. And so I needed a community in Minneapolis, St. Paul to like check on me and care about me. And so thank you for those who were able to offer that. And thank you to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio. You know, this has been a space that I've been able to share my truth. And I've always said, like, my message and the work I've done here is not the DFL umbrella. My stuff is never posted on any of their billboards, right? Because it's not mattered to this large majority of people. But here on this radio station and the people who listen to you and the followers that you've created care about the things that we've worked on. And so thank you for giving me a platform. Thank you for giving me space. Thank you for giving me the ability to be vulnerable. I really want to do, you know, more radio after this, more podcasts. I think being a woman in this work, this is not a man's world anymore, but there are things that as women, I think we need a space to talk about. Because I've been met this entire time when I've talked about my hardships and my own mental health, is this idea that like, oh, little girl, if you can't do this job, then just sit down. And I'm not buying that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I want to take, you know, the truth and the ability that you've given me here, you know, you've given me the tools for 6 years to learn how to speak on the radio and share what we're doing and the messages that we need to talk about. And I have a laundry list of great friends and guests that I think I could bring along with me. And so thank you, Robert, for giving me a voice, for caring about me, caring about kids. It matters.
And vice versa, too. And I think, you know, as natives, we don't say goodbye. We say see you later. And I know that's going to be definitely... maybe you'll have more opportunity to come on and talk about things now that you're not driving 3.5 hours to work. So that's a thing too. And I want to say a big peeny geeky thank you to you and your colleagues. You know, people take, you know, the governor takes, you know, credit for things that the House and the Senate do. They just sign a bill. He just signs a bill and he might, you know, or he or she might have a agenda, but you and your colleagues have done the work, especially in this last 6 years. And I just want to say a big peeny geegee to that and to you.
Yeah. Thanks. It feels like I knew I was never going to do it for a lifetime. I knew it was sort of this next link in my educational path. And so I did learn a lot. I am in the process of applying for my PhD, so hopefully I can get into a program that then I can become Dr. Keeler and like do some actual evidence-based research on how investing in ending homelessness and feeding our neighbors is a good economic outcome for education, because we need more professionals in our healthcare systems and our educational systems. And I think that starts with proving the investments matter. And so hopefully that's my next journey. Open to do any motivational keynote speaking. Hopefully we can, you know, genuinely explore doing some more radio. I think there's some appetite for some lady leader conversations and, you know, women on the radio. So maybe you'll see me hear more and maybe on my own show at one point.
Yeah, well, definitely. And I agree 100%. I think Native Roots Radio in the years we've been on, it's 10 years. Matter of fact, I just had a birthday, so I was 55 when I started this. and now I just turned 65 a couple days ago. And now I'm on my way to elite elder here in a few years. So I like the way that sounds. But, you know, this is too macho of a platform. We need to hear from more women and especially more Native women. So I'm sure there's going to be a place, if nothing else, you know, get you on here more. But you deserve a show, and I think we should work something out here soon. But again, I just want to say a big peeny geeky. We got a couple minutes left here, and I really want you to let our people know about Two Feathers and how they can get a hold of you and things like that.
Yeah, so Two Feathers LLC is my website. You know, Two Feathers, I come from the Eagle Clan. I have two boys. It's a generational move for us to, one, like I mentioned earlier, talk about who we are as Indigenous people, help educate people around us so that the invisibility factor isn't able to happen as easily. Because I do believe when people learn things and they know better, they do better. You know, that's what Maya Angelou says. But yeah, so Two Feathers, I do motivational speaking if you're looking for any keynote speakers for any conferences coming up. I do have my bachelor's in project management, so we do a lot of event planning. If you're looking to launch some sort of event and you just need somebody to help you do the planning, I got you. We also do event photography. So if people are looking, you know, it seems like conferences always want somebody to capture all the moments but never really know what to do, we have an opportunity to do that. And then we have an opportunity to do ongoing education. We have a lot of businesses that used to partner with us to do monthly education sessions, sort of geared towards whatever it is that they need to do regionally, nationally. It's not just, you know, Minnesota based. And so if you know of any conferences looking for motivational or keynote speakers, be sure to let me know. I'm on all social medias. Two Feathers, the two is actually spelled out. And so that's me and what I hope to do in the next six.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening, a big peeny geeky state. I didn't say Senator Heather Keeler or governor yet. That'll be the next show. A big peeny geeky. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You're part of the resistance. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Chase Iron Eyes up next. Ho-wa.
Support for KFAI comes from the Blue Ox Music Festival. 3 days of Americana and bluegrass music featuring national and regional artists. June 25th to the 27th in Eau Claire. Full lineup at blueoxmusicfestival.com.
Just when I thought I was free, my friend.
It's a good day to be Indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. I just want to mention a couple things before we bring on our guest. And just to remind everyone that Wakan Teepee's grand opening is going to be May 29th at 11 p.m. PM down there, and it's I'll be emceeing that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Opening, a lot of politicians, a lot of ribbon cutting, and food and things like that. So it's 11 a.m. on Friday. And also, I just want to remind everyone for Thursday, May 28th, from 5 to 9 at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, there'll be some things happening. We have our friend, our artist, Willard Mailbear, will be out there. And also, there'll be interactive games sharing with Ojibwe language and culture with Nashki Native Games. Let me tell you, people love Nashki Native Games. We had it at our store at the State Fair, and we sold out like three times. So show up. It's a free event. I'll be there lurking around saying hello to people, but really excited about that. And just a quick thing on some news today. Angie Craig is going to skip the DFL convention. And as you all know, I'm a delegate in the DFL, and I'll be going down there. And she saw that that was not the way to go for her. I think the delegates were 3-1 against her. And so she's going to be running as a person that's not nominated through the DFL. So that's just a little news right now. But I want to bring on our guest right now, and I'm really excited to talk to this person. I'd really love, Gwen, if you could introduce yourselves to our listening audience all over Turtle Island here on Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
Gano, Robert. My name is Menegwajikwe. That means butterfly woman in Anishinaabe. Even though I am a member of the Cayuga Nation of New York Heron Clan, I was given a name by Sylvia Cloud at the Bad River Indian community many, many years ago. And I'm very, very proud of that name, proud of my tribe. I've been working in tribal affairs for over three decades. I'm not going to say exactly how many, but I've been doing this a long time. I started working in Chicago, which is where I was born, at Cook County Hospital, like a lot of good urban Indians. Started working in Chicago, went to Washington, worked at the White House in the Clinton administration, then went to the Democratic National Committee, where I realize that's kind of a dirty word at the moment. But I was the first Native American political director ever. And so I did a lot of deep diving into Democratic politics in general. I worked a lot with all the tribes across the country. I started Native caucuses, one of which was in Wisconsin. And then I moved to Arizona. I was the first Native woman to be the director of the Arizona Dems. Got another education in state party politics. I've had a lot of experience working with tribes on a government-to-government relationship. Also, urban Indian communities. I started the Urban Indian Policy Coalition in 1990-something, which is now the Urban Indian Family Coalition, which is great. In 2001, I moved to Wisconsin, and I started working at the Department of Commerce. And then from there, I talked my way into a job at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, because they didn't have a tribal liaison and they'd never had one. And if you understand tribal, if you understand tribal law, understand law, period. If you take a dollar of federal money, you have to do consultation with tribes. And so I used that as leverage to start the Office of Tribal Affairs in Wisconsin, which put me, you know, right in the middle of intergovernmental affairs with all of the tribes in Wisconsin, the governor's office, the Secretary of Transportation. We started the Office of Tribal Affairs. My first project was the Tribal Historic Preservation Project, where I got all the tipos from the tribes together in a room and said, "Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. What do you hate the most about DOT?" I literally asked them that question, and they told me. And I said, "Okay, that's where we're going to start." So we actually met for a couple of years on the DOT dime in consultation, and they created the policies that are now a permanent part of DOT policy in regards to burials and cultural resources. All of that comes from the tribe. And to my knowledge, it's not the only one from that's been made by tribes, but it is the one that is the most embedded in a state agency that was created by historic preservation officers. Of course, you know, people have been consulting with tribes to a greater or lesser degree for many, many years, but that was really kind of a golden age in consultation. We did the partnership agreement, which was the rules of engagement, which we can get into some of that in our conversation in a few minutes. But so I worked on the US 41 project. We built the largest Native American
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.